Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you downloaded us from. Thanks very much for downloading us. We have a great guest to talk about misophonia to you today. I'm interested in the subject, and I hope you are too. It's a fascinating subject, but I'm not going to tell you any more about the title until we talk a little more about our guest. And I've got to remind you, we are always brought to you, at least for the last several years, by Persona Nutrition. That is You, the Owner's Manual podcast, both the A and the B. The A, the latest news of the week and what it means to you. The B, great guests like I expect Philip Gander to be today. We haven't recorded this yet, so I can't tell that he is the great guest I expect him to be, but he will be, I'll bet. Is brought to you by Persona Nutrition. I use Persona for my personalized supplements. You can too. If you want to have some fun, take the free online assessment to get supplements personalized just for you. You can go to mypersona.com. By the way, if you backslash my name, mypersona.com/Roizen, you get a discount on your first two orders if you decide to order anything from them. There obviously is no obligation. As I said, our guest is talking about misophonia. I'm going to let him define what that is. He is in the Department of Neurosurgery at the University of Iowa in the Human Brain Research Laboratory of Matt Howard, where he conducts research on the ear and how we sense and how that sensing sound is turned into cognitive understanding, memories, behaviors, and even problems. That is why sometimes when you hear something, you get very annoyed with it. Philip, if you can tell us what misophonia is and why you study it.
All right. So misophonia is a term kind of created to refer to sounds that people are really distressed by. It's actually broken up from Greek of misos, meaning hatred, and phonia, sound. So it's hatred of certain sounds. There's actually quite a debate amongst scientists about that, the usage of that term, and how we want to define it right off the bat. Always fun, of course, for research. Some people think that instead of trying to confuse people, we should use a different term that is perhaps more common, called hyperacusis, which is just as strange a term, but you may have heard before. That's sort of an overreaction to sound. And so they think that this particular type of misophonia is just a subcategory of that. But that's an open debate we don't necessarily need to have right now.
So, misophonia, it is an emotion often gets triggered by this sound, as I understand it. So, for example, you may hear something such as tapping or boom, 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 a repetitive sound, and you can't stand it, and it drives you crazy. Does misophonia also correspond to positive sounds? So, for example, there's a advertisement now that my wife and I say we love, and we're almost going to go to this restaurant just because they have this pleasant, if you will, sound that we love on as the start of their commercial. Is that also misophonia? It's a positive emotion?
That's a great question, and I'll give you the bad scientific answer or scientist answer. We don't know for sure. But it is an interesting idea that perhaps people's emotional reactions to sounds are on a continuum. And in this case, misophonia is just at a very severe end of that reaction. The kind of sounds that, as you correctly call trigger sounds, these are sounds that trigger this very intense emotional response. It's typically some form of anger or irritation as sort of the dominant responses that people have. There's a number of different emotions that can be related or have been related to it. But most of the time, these sounds are considered negative. And they're usually of the category of sort of interpersonal sounds, so eating, breathing, and chewing type sounds, which, you know, it's really like.
So my darn iPhone opens up with some stupid music that I've been unable to get off of it. That wouldn't constitute misophonia. It makes me angry. I have to take my time to get rid of the sound when it comes on. It's someone's music, but it annoys me. So that's not misophonia, or is that misophonia?
So generally, I would say no. There are sounds that annoy us. You know, for some people, the sound of a baby crying or scratching on a chalkboard kind of thing. Not a commonly heard sound anymore, but these sorts of sounds will annoy almost anyone. And that's just sort of the way the acoustics of the sound itself. In misophonia, it's quite different. There's something about the meaning of the sound.
So misophonia has a specific type of annoyance, if you will. Let's go back to when, there's a neurologic correlate. There's a brain correlate that you've discovered, and that's really why we have you on here, because there is this amazing, what I would call amazing, consistent brain correlate in misophonia you found. And I guess what you're saying is positive sounds like, or even some others that trigger emotions but aren't the same type of repetitive chewing or breathing or knocking of a pen are not don't trigger the same, or we don't know if they trigger the same neurologic correlate. Tell us about your research and why you decided to get into this field, and then how it relates to a hearing problem.
Sure. So it is exactly the brain correlates that we found that we think makes this disorder distinct from other aspects of sort of auditory problems. It is the specific reaction that we got in our experiment, my colleagues and I. And what we did was we set out to try and understand sort of this odd disorder that was described, I think first coined in around the year 2000. There wasn't a lot known about it, especially no neuroscience really had been put forward in terms of understanding what was going on in the brain and in the body in response to these sounds. And so we wanted to try and set out to figure out what some of these correlates might actually be. And we did that by getting a group of quote-unquote normal individuals who didn't at least describe themselves as suffering from misophonia, and then a group of individuals who did. And the experiment was quite simple. We just had them listen to a series of sounds. And so one group of sounds was sort of neutral, sort of footsteps, water drop, rain sort of thing, and another set of sounds that were sort of annoying, so sounds that we would all agree are kind of annoying, like I mentioned before, it's nails on a chalkboard or a knife on glass, which is a pretty nasty sound, and then what we called trigger sounds, and these were particular sounds that were identified by the group of people that we had who are misophonic, who had said these are the particular sounds that really make them have a strong reaction. And so these are the sorts of sounds like crunching of a chip bag, basically, and lip smacking and swallowing and heavy breathing sounds. But there can also be sounds like repetitive finger tapping or even footsteps sometimes for some people. But generally, the vast majority are these sort of eating and breathing and chewing sounds. So these people listened to these different categories of sounds while we had their brain, they were lying in a brain scanner in an MRI machine. And what that allowed us to do was to look at their brain activity in response to these different sets of sounds. And the really interesting pattern of results that we got was the control group and the group of people with misophonia, their brains responded basically the same way to the sounds and to the unpleasant sounds. But the difference really came out to what was categorized as these trigger sounds. And the group that identified themselves as having misophonia, they had this very strong overreaction specifically to these trigger sounds. And this was in a few distinct areas in their brain.
And so talk to us a little bit about the insula and what that means and why that area and why you're looking strongly. And by the way, I should say that research in this area is sponsored by and can be, you can find out more about this at misophoniaresearchfund.org. But it also is a very important correlate, and what I understand, it leads to a greater understanding of things such as tinnitus or tinnitus, which is ringing in the ear, and what we can do about it. So talk to us a little bit about the brain area and why that's important.
Sure. So in this particular case, in this study, we found, as you mentioned, this area of the brain called the anterior insula, which is not one that you probably have heard very often. And this is an area of the brain that is sort of an interface between our sensation and higher levels of the brain that sort of interpret our sensations and our thoughts about those of what we perceive. And so put another way, this is an area of the brain that we consider is involved in interoception. And interoception is a way of talking about our experience of our internal world, as opposed to, say, our perception, which is our experience of our external world. So this particular brain region, it made a lot of sense that it happened to sort of light up specifically in these misophonics, specifically only to these trigger sounds. Because what that meant was that their reaction to these sounds had gone kind of overboard in the interface between how they were interpreting the sound and then how they were thinking about that sound.
And why does this relate to tinnitus or tinnitus?
Right. So tinnitus is quite complex in sort of a similar sort of way, in which there's a great number of potential brain correlates that have been found. And much of what we know now about tinnitus in particular, that it's not just a thing about the ear, and that there are many brain correlates about memory and attention and perception that seem to be related specifically to tinnitus as well. So it's many more regions of the brain. And so I think what this tells us is that a lot of these quite common disorders related to hearing can be a lot more involved within the physiology of the body. We just think about it a bit more holistically than just focusing only at the level of the ear. But I should also say they are pretty distinct though as well in terms of what we think are the initiating conditions for one and the other, I think.
So it really is an unconscious sensation or unconscious sound or an unconscious perception of the sound that is annoying, rather than when I hear that sound on my iPhone, it's a god-awful conscious perception. It's coming from my damn iPhone. This is how I can control it.
Yeah.
The other thing, let me drop back a little bit and thank you for this, and it is great research that you and Matt Howard are doing at the University of Iowa. Let me ask you how you got involved in this. What triggered you, if I can use the word trigger in this way, what triggered you to get involved in this area, and what triggers the University of Iowa Neurosurgery Department to be interested in this problem?
Right. So That's a big question. I suppose where to start? I mean, my particular interest does start with my interest in tinnitus. This is research that I started to get interested in during my PhD with my supervisor. And we were just, again, trying to understand more about the brain correlates of tinnitus. It's still a major unknown, really. We've moved forward a lot since that time, but there are a great many things that are still unanswered. And as you know, there's no universal cure or universally effective treatment for tinnitus. And so this got us involved with, as I mentioned before, sort of understanding or appreciating more about the sort of broadness of the brain correlates of tinnitus and other auditory disorders. And so it sort of opened our eyes to other aspects of auditory disorders. Like I mentioned, hyperacusis before, overreaction to sound, and then in particular sort of subcaps of hyperacusis, which is misophonia.
So we have been talking with Philip Gander, a PhD neuroscientist in the Department of Neurosurgery at the University of Iowa, about misophonia and how it may help us in uncoiling the understanding mechanism and even treatment for tinnitus and other brain disorders and, in fact, misophonia itself. You can find out more about the whole field at Misophonia, MISOPHONIA, researchfund.org. And this is some of the, what I would call, outstanding work at the University of Iowa. Most of us in medicine do appreciate that the University of Iowa is one of the outstanding research universities in the world. So thank you, Philip, for coming on. I should also say that we are always sponsored by Persona Nutrition. Obviously, the B segment, which this is, 1006B, are the guests. The 1006A is the news of the week and what it means to you. All the A segments are the news of the week. So I want to thank you for coming on. And I want to thank our listeners especially for downloading and rating us. 50,000 of you a week can't all be wrong. So thanks very much. In fact, we have a great audience. So I appreciate that. You can always go to PersonaNutrition.com or MyPersona.com and take the free online assessment to find out if you're missing anything in your diet that relates to or that can be helped by supplements or a multivitamin or an NAD or something else that is appropriate that they have, and or talk to a nutritionist. It's free to do both talk to the nutritionist or dietitian and free to take the online assessment at mypersona.com. And if, as I said, you put in mypersona.com/Roizen, R-O-I-Z-E-N, my last name, you get a large discount on your first two orders. Thanks very much for downloading us. Dr. Gander, thanks very much for being with us. And of course, Joe, for excellent engineering. Thanks again. We'll be back next week with another interesting guest, as well as a great what the latest news, medical news of the week is, and what it means to you. Thanks again.